Chic Perspectives. I'm Elizabeth Gordon, and you're listening to Business Radio X. We've got a wonderful roundtable discussion coming up with the women of NABO Atlanta. NABO is the National Association of Women Business Owners, and the Atlanta chapter of this national organization is quite strong here in this market. And I've got four wonderful people who have been involved with the organization in a lot of different ways. And they're going to tell us about how it's influenced their business, their company, the way they do business, and the way they network with other women and connect and continue to grow the economy here in Atlanta. So let me introduce you to our four panelists for today's discussion. We've got Andrea Borden, who is the president of the board of directors of NABO Atlanta, and also the managing partner and sales consultant for Borden Schmidt Consulting. Andrea, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
And you've brought three wonderful women with you. Laura Stevenson is on the executive committee of the board of directors for NABO Atlanta. And Laura is an attorney with the law office of Laura Stevens. Lauren, welcome.
Thank you.
And Deb Carr, who is a corporate partner liaison for NABO Atlanta. Deb is an international account manager with the UPS Corporation. Deb, glad you could join us today.
Glad to be here.
And we've also got Diane Ogle, who is a prominent member and relatively new to the Atlanta chapter, but a big fan of NABO. Just moved up here from Orlando, and Diane is the principal of Business Momentum Group, and she's going to tell us all about that. Diane?
Great. Thank you so much. Great to be here.
So, Andrea, let's start with you. You have been in sales and business for a number of years now, worked a lot with technology companies, and provide consulting and sales services to your clients. Tell me a little bit more about your organization.
Okay. Well, what my company does, Borden Schmidt Consulting, is the bottom line is we help companies increase revenue through sales consulting and financial consulting. So we feel like there's a lot of companies out there kind of in the 1 to 30 million revenue range that are at a certain level and don't really know how to kick it up a notch. They've done everything they can do. They feel like they have, you know, a pretty good sales strategy, but it's just not working anymore. They've tapped out in terms of revenue. So I, along with a couple other people in the firm that have different skills, have more financial consulting skills, will go in and analyze where the company's at, where is the profit coming from, because we want to help them with profitable revenue.
Well, that's what we're all looking for.
Right. And sometimes it's hard to tell. If you haven't don't have a really good CFO who's there analyzing your numbers, a lot of salespeople are like me. You know, we think, oh, well, I can just go sell one more deal and everything will be okay. Well, you've sold all these deals and actually nothing's fallen to the bottom line because you didn't really understand your numbers. So
you hear that kind of general mindset of like sales solves all business problems.
Yes.
But if you don't really understand the profitability of that sale, you can get yourself in trouble with that kind of
philosophy.
Yeah,
we work with a lot of companies who are in that situation where they have a lot of revenue, they've been able to grow their revenue, and like me, they've always been successful in sales, so they're like, why am I in so much financial trouble? I'm not making enough money. And once you analyze how they're pricing their products and services, the terms they're offering their customers, they're having a lot of cash flow issues. And the number one reason small business owners go out of business is cash flow issues. So
when you're analyzing the financial side of the revenue equation for the clients, how in-depth do you go in your analysis?
Well, as in-depth as they will let us go. I mean, we would like to do a full-scale, you know, audit of the expense side and the revenue side. Usually just to start, if we can just get a current P&L and get that updated and real, which a lot of people don't even have for the past, you know, couple years. If you can get a P&L for the past 2 to 3 years, you can really see a lot of trends. And you can see where are these profitable streams of revenue and where are the unprofitable streams of revenue. And you may not have never, you know, we really want to focus on the revenue side of the equation, because a lot of times if you go to a CPA or you go to a CFO, they want to talk about expenses, right? And that's where everybody hates to talk to their CPA or CFO because they say, well, just cut your expenses. You know what? There's only so much you can cut, and then you've got a revenue problem. So sometimes it's some financial things that are going on, cash flow issues. And then it gets to the point to how are you selling? What is your strategy? Do you have a sales team? Are you doing the selling? Do you need to recruit different salespeople? Do you need to manage the salespeople you have differently? And that's where I come in, is on the sales training and coaching side.
Okay. So it's a very holistic approach of looking at the revenue equation. Mm-hmm. Now, have you found that in the recent economic downturn, there's been even a heightened sense of importance placed on sources of revenue and profitability of the revenue that is coming in?
Yes, definitely. I feel like this business was formed just by the environment I was in. I owned a recruiting and staffing firm 4 years ago, and that was going well. I've been in that business for a while, and I was helping companies recruit salespeople. And that was a lot of fun for me. But then I sold that business, and I didn't know what I wanted to do next. And I had been on the board of NABO and been involved for a while, and I had several women-owned companies come to me and say, hey, you seem to know a lot about sales. Would you help me or give me some advice? And out of that, this new consulting firm was born, because these companies had reached a certain level. A lot of them are WeBank certified companies, so they're able to get different contracts with the government or with large corporations. And that has helped them, but you can't rely on that certification. You know, having certification is great, but that's like the icing on the cake. What I've taught these companies is, you know, you have to diversify your client base. A lot of companies in this economy have learned that the hard way. You lose your one or two big clients, and you didn't have a sales strategy behind that. So now, you know, you're out looking for your big clients again. And so I definitely see a heightened awareness of it, and people are placing a bigger priority on sales and business development than they ever have before.
Nice. Now, what made you said that this is your second company mm-hmm. that you've started. What brought you down the path of being a woman business owner? Mm. What inspired you to say, you know what, I think it's time for me to have my own company?
Well, that's a good question. It seems like a long time ago now, but it really wasn't that long ago. Let's see, it was in 2007, and I was working for Robert Half International, which was a great company, and it's the largest recruiting and staffing firm in the U.S., and I learned a lot there. And I think what happened is, after having so many different I'd been in other companies before, Compaq, HP, Pinnacle Micro, and always been in sales and kind of startup environments, and brought in a lot of new clients and a lot of revenue. And when
right.
you look
as
at the bottom line, you see how much of that you're actually making. And then you also see, when you go on to your next company, whether that's voluntarily or not voluntarily, you don't take those clients with you. Those clients are owned by whoever owns the company owns the clients.
Right, the relationships you've built.
Yeah, so I figured
out title on the business card.
I think I need to own the company so I can own all these relationships that I'm spending all this time and energy forming. So as a salesperson, I think I had a pretty good idea of what starting a business was, but I also was a little naive about it, because I thought I had this false confidence that, well, I'm in sales. I bring in the customers. So, I mean, how hard could this be? I mean, I can get the customers. What else do I need to know? And I went into business for myself. And luckily, I was in a franchise business through Spherion Corporation. So I had a lot of support, just like any corporate office in the country. I actually had all the back end support of them doing my payroll for me and all the back office operations. So that really saved me. Because if I was really jumping in, like a lot of business owners do, and having to do the administrative part too, I just wanted to focus on sales. I didn't want to worry about the other piece. So I did learn, as an owner, you're responsible for everything. You have to know everything. You may not have to be the expert in it. You can outsource pieces, know what your strengths are and know what your weaknesses are. But at the same time, I'm ultimately responsible for every area of the business.
It's very important, and there's so much when you start a business to understand. And, you know, sales and expenses kind mm-hmm. of, you know, hit you right away, but then you get into things like operations and legal. And actually, let's bring Laura into the conversation and talk a little about legal. Laura Stevenson, you own your own practice. Tell me a little bit about your background and how you got to where you are today.
Well, I've been in Atlanta since 1983, and I started my own practice, my solo practice, in 1993. And when I did that, I started out as a solo, an individual attorney, but you form a lot of relationships with other attorneys. So you might have almost a quasi-partnership with somebody where they're doing bankruptcy work, you're doing what I do, which is commercial litigation. Someone else might be doing transactional work. And so you're getting your clients in that manner. And what I do, commercial litigation, involves quite a broad spectrum of services for small businesses. And small businesses are reluctant to even pick up the phone and try to contact an attorney. They oftentimes don't even have an attorney because they're nervous about incurring a big fee.
Right.
And so getting involved in groups like NABO allows me to meet people and explain to them what I do and how much it might cost them and make them comfortable with actually seeking legal services. And that can involve a lot of things. It can involve employment issues, issues with their employees, discrimination issues, that kind of thing, insurance issues, health plan issues, that kind of thing. They could get sued for product liability problems. I have clients that have businesses where their clients have sued them. And also enforcement of contracts and realization on accounts receivable, which is basically debt collection. And so those are a lot of different things that I can do for a small business. And I found that that has worked out very well for me. And then getting back to the, I guess, the business part of a solo attorney also, people will contact you about maybe a criminal matter that's maybe outside of your jurisdiction, but allows you to refer to other attorneys. So that's basically in a nutshell.
So when you're working with a business owner client, is it fair to say that their understanding of the complexities of the laws around a lot of these issues is somewhat limited? I mean, you're talking about some pretty complicated matters.
Yes, there's a steep learning curve. And they oftentimes are frustrated because they may have tried to go to small claims court and didn't have much success there, got sort of burned and felt like, well, I'm not going to try that again. But I think that they really owe it to themselves and are doing themselves a disservice if they don't try to find someone that can give them some legal advice and some guidance.
Well, legal issues can be scary, especially when you don't necessarily understand the full scope of the law that you're dealing with. And it sounds like you've heard of people trying to handle it on their own, thinking, oh, how hard could this be? I'll just, try and do it myself. And then realize, oh, I'm in over my head. I need a good lawyer by my side to really manage this situation properly.
Yeah, I think in the long run, a lot of times it saves them a lot of money.
Well, and speaking of, in the long run, it sounds like a lot of people don't contact you or contact, their attorney until they're in trouble, right?
Yes.
Opposed to, hey, I have a couple free hours on Monday, and right. I thought we'd proactively talk about the legal matters
right.
of my company.
That's right. It's often after the visit from the sheriff's deputy with the lawsuit.
Something mildly frightening has occurred.
Yes.
And
yes.
They've realized this is serious.
Right.
I need some real help.
Right. But, all is not lost. Sometimes the best thing that can happen to you is just to get sued. Sounds very strange, but at that point, it brings in some third parties. The other side has probably brought in an attorney, and now you have an attorney. And a lot of times that will allow the situation to be worked out. And it might be easier than the two business people trying to do it themselves, because the attorneys have probably done it before. They probably have seen some solutions that work. And so that can be very helpful, actually. So I tell people that's not the worst thing that ever has happened to you. It seems like it, but it's not.
That's nice. I'm glad you sound like you'd be a good attorney to work with. Understanding that at that point, someone's a little bit worried. They've got a lot of concerns. There's some anxiety there.
There's some stress, yes. A lot of stress. There's a lot of hand-holding that goes with that. And some of it is not so much the legal part. It's having the legal knowledge, but then coming up with a practical solution that will help both parties resolve their problems.
So would you say that there's like a creative aspect to your work with the law of trying to come up with an out-of-the-box solution or a way to interpret things in a different manner or use a statute in a certain way?
Right. Well, and also just with respect to the business-to-business lawsuits especially, you might just have to restructure their whole situation. But they don't know how to go about it. And also, they may have their relationship with that other business may have gotten to the point where there's a little bit of toxic energy going on there, and so they need that third-party mediator to come in and help them come up with something. And a lot of times it's a time issue because people are afraid if I give them extra 2 months, they might not be there. They're going to run away and disappear, that kind of thing. So they need the assurance that this is a structured deal that will protect them and allow them to get their, for example, to get their funds.
So, Laura, when you started your own practice, like Andrea was saying earlier, in terms of knowing what you're getting yourself into or just what the differences are going to be to run your own company versus work for someone else's company, what were some of the observations you had after the first couple of years about being a woman entrepreneur?
Well, when I first started out, I hired a consultant who I still am in contact with, and I think he gave me some good advice, but I didn't do everything he told me to do. I've kind of picked and choose the things I liked. And so I think the main thing, one of the things that happened with me, I had a small client that went with me. I had been at a law firm before for 10 years when I went out on my own in 1993. And I had a small client that turned into a big client, which was good. And in fact, they turned into such a big client that I was really having a hard time keeping up with everything. And one of the pieces of that business was bankruptcy work, which I can do, but I really didn't enjoy it. And so I had an attorney that I had met through the Georgia Association for Women Lawyers, who is a fairly prominent bankruptcy attorney, and she was just going out on her own, and she asked me, she said, you know, if you want to, I could handle that bankruptcy piece of this client for you. And at first I thought that was rather audacious thing for her to suggest. But the more I thought about it, I thought, you know, this is not a bad idea. I contacted my client. And I said, you know, I have this acquaintance. I think she would do a good job. And why don't we start splitting this up and sending the bankruptcy stuff over to her? They said, sure, no problem. And so I think actually they were probably getting better service splitting that up, the business up that way. And over the years, she has referred to me so many more clients. That has been a very profitable decision for me to do that, to give that business away. I've gotten it back 10 times over.
That's great.
And I think that when you have a group, you start thinking about that, and I'm talking about the NABO group, you begin to realize that it's not just you don't have to be so isolated, and sharing can be a good thing.
Absolutely. A multiplier.
Yes. Yes.
Very good point. Let's bring Deb Carr into the conversation now. Now, Deb, you work for UPS. You're an international business development and account manager there, and UPS is a corporate partner of the NABO group. Tell us a little bit about the work that you do at UPS in supply chain management and providing solutions for companies.
Thanks. Elizabeth, what I do, excuse me, I go out and visit with companies that are based here in Georgia and help them understand what their supply chain is. Do they source their goods here in the U.S. and then do something special to those goods and then sell them to their customers? Do they manufacture their goods overseas and then want to bring them into the U.S.? Do they want to export the goods that they make by hand or with their expertise here in Georgia? And they want to cover the globe with their products. So I go out and visit with companies and find out what do they do and then where do they want to grow. And with UPS, then we find the solutions that are appropriate to help that happen. Now, one of the neat things with being with UPS is that we sponsor NABO at a national level, but also I get the pleasure of being with NABO here locally in Atlanta. So just as Laura was saying, that her partnership with the bankruptcy attorney ended up being profitable for both of them, that's one of the things that we're looking at is how can UPS support companies that are growing, women businesses, so they can be profitable? Because if they're profitable and we're helping them grow and they need UPS services, we're hoping to help them grow and use our services and then grow UPS's business at the same time.
Right. Well, I mean, talking about the complexities of running an organization, and especially when the growth really starts to happen, logistics and supply chain and getting your goods to where they need to be in the proper time frame is something that most business owners, you know, don't even start to think about until that is a pressing challenge or an issue.
It is. A lot of times it's an emergency. Oh, I have this new customer. It's significant business. We really want to make this happen. There's a trade show we want to go to. We want to get our business out there. But sometimes what's neat is that with working with different organizations like NABO, I am able to go in with a customer then and talk with them about what is your strategic goals? Where do you see your business growing? So it's not just moving your package from your business to customer number A. It's expanding that to where are our ultimate goals. And then not only that, but you're sourcing your goods from multiple countries and you want to bring them to multiple countries. Let's streamline that. Because like with Andrea talking earlier about how she wants to see profitable revenue with her customers, we also want to do that in simplifying people's supply chain. And having a simplified yet sophisticated supply chain can mean the world in profitability for customers. So it's really been a huge pleasure to me to be able to work with UPS as well as with the NABO ladies that I've met so far. And there's even a couple gentlemen there too.
It's a good inclusive group. And from a international supply chain standpoint, I'm curious if, I mean, we've heard that the world is now flat, you know, it's everything is global. The economy, there is no such thing as, you know, just local. Everything has a global perspective. Are you seeing more companies interested in taking a global point of view over their business expansion plans and really figuring out how do I grow in other markets outside of the U.S.?
Absolutely. UPS actually just hosted an export symposium over at the World Trade Center. And one of the speakers that was there mentioned that companies with websites see more traffic internationally than they do just within the U.S. And really, it's a matter of scoping your business online to make sure, is it going to be friendly for folks that are, when you're sleeping, they're doing business or trying to find your goods? Do you have the right platform in place? So understanding internationally how to do business, that's where, call me. That's where I come in.
I mean, that sounds like the point when you think, oh my gosh, you know I want to be in Europe or Asia or, you know, these other markets, but if I going to have to figure out customs and, you know, how to get product imported and exported from different countries, that's some really complicated stuff. So you can be a help.
Oh, absolutely. And it can be as simple as understanding that every country can create their own laws and rules. Where can I go to find out what those laws and rules are? And like with UPS's technology, we have websites available where you can source those goods. You have options to just have folks like myself who go out and visit with multiple companies. Our experience can bring to the table the information that that specific customer needs.
Nice. Diane, let's talk about what you do for a little bit. Now, you founded the Business Momentum Group in 1996 and followed, you know, after a lot of success there, also the Ministry Momentum Group. And you also have done these executive roundtables for female executives and entrepreneurs. Talk about your journey. How did you get to what you're doing today?
Well, I started out in corporate America like so many women who end up going out on their own. And in 96, I was living in Dallas, Texas, and it was a great business market. But I was starting to have my first of my three boys. So I thought, well, I need to really take a look at flexibility and my values as a mother and a wife. And yet I still had so many skills that I wanted to use with my expertise. And quite frankly, our family still needed my income. And so my corporate boss said, Diane, if you go start your own business, which at that time I didn't know what that meant, I'll be your first client. So for me, it was a gift. So what I first did in Dallas is I started going and interviewing as many, especially women business owners, but I met with men as well. What did you do? And tell me your story. And how did you do this? And how do I write a contract? And how do I go get business? And what should my services look like? What I had to do a lot of soul searching about what do I, you know, where's my bent? Where's my passion? And what can I really gift to somebody else and get compensated for it and still meet the needs of my family?
So how did you find the answers to those difficult questions?
Well, my sweet spot, sweet spot has always been in marketing. And what it grew into is working with small to mid-sized business owners to come alongside them and help them gain the momentum they need to get to that next level. So I always talked about marketing as the engine of the organization. So if you had a beautiful car and you never did anything to the engine, it would get rusty and look terrible. But if you work on the engine, which is your marketing arm, then you can start revving up that engine and it can make that whole vehicle go in the direction and at the speed that's healthy for what the driver's wanting it to go. So
I like that analogy.
Well, thank you. I love working with visionaries because I can almost see when a visionary would give me their vision, I can almost see in an A to Z fashion the executable items that need to happen. Now, it doesn't mean that I have to physically do them all, but what I have found with my clients, it helps them to get a fresh eyes because sometimes they get too close to things within their business and where they're really where their vision is going. And I love to come alongside as a trusted advisor to not tickle their ears. I mean, I tell them, if you really don't want to hear the truth, don't hire me because I'm going to tell you the truth. But to really infuse my expertise and what I can see and then holding teams accountable to make sure that they are coming alongside that visionary to execute effectively on that ultimate vision of that business. Because as you know, and you probably hear, lots of business owners have a million different ideas that swim in their head. But if they really don't put the legs to it, the feet to it, the executable items, it'll just stay there in space or in their employees' minds, and it's never communicated effectively.
Right. Entrepreneurs do tend to have a lot of different ideas and a lot of excitement mm-hmm. around the possibilities, but that's exactly what you're paying those high-priced consultants for, the truth.
Right.
And the accountability
right.
to make it actually happen.
Exactly.
Ideas are great, but they're a lot better when you're looking at the result of following through on the full action plan mm-hmm. there.
So
now,
true.
moving to a new city, moving your business to a new city, that's certainly a challenge.
Right. And it was a faith move, to be honest with you, because my husband had he'd been in corporate America for most of his career and had been with Wyndham Worldwide as the vice president of leadership development and was laid off with so many other high-level executives in 2010. And so we found ourselves in a high hospitality market that was hurting terribly in Orlando, and the housing market had crashed, and so we really had to do some soul searching on where should we, because we have clients in lots of different places, especially here in the Southeast, so where could we better position ourselves in what we could see as a healthier market to be located. And so by far the housing market was incredible as far as the cost of living. The culture for us was amazing. And so it's made our transition for the whole family. I have three boys from 10 to 17. So it was a big move for the kids as well. And so we quickly got them integrated in the schools and sports. And it has just really made the transition much better. And so we're really feeling Atlanta as a great, vibrant city. And we're feeling the difference in the business climate here compared to what we saw and felt in Orlando. So
that's great. Well, we love to hear good things about the business of the city of Atlanta, obviously, on this station. Now, what about your involvement with NABO? When you moved, did you see that as being a real key piece in being able to develop new relationships in a new city?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I'd been on the board of directors of NABO when I had my business in Dallas. And so one of the first things I did was I thought, well, I wonder see how strong the presence of the National Association of Women Business Owners is in Atlanta. Because I thought, well, if it's got a nice, strong, if it has a similar vision to what I have with women uniting, strengthening one another, I thought I want to be a part. So I called up Andrea, and we had coffee, and I heard from her heart, and there was no decision then at that point. I didn't need to come to a meeting. I didn't need to meet all the women. I didn't need to go to an event. I immediately joined, and then I came to my first meeting because I just knew that after hearing her vision for her role as president and what her story has been in Atlanta and her businesses, I thought that so aligns to where my heart is. So that's where I quickly came apart.
Awesome. Now, Andrea, as you have taken over the presidency of this group, what, it's been a year, 2 years that you've been
actually,
at the
I'm
helm?
In my first year. Okay. I'll finish out my first year at the end of this year. So I go through 2012.
Nice.
Yeah.
So when you first came into this role, what was your vision for what you really saw was possible with this group in the city of Atlanta?
I think, you know, my vision was very broad when I came into this role because I had been in the community of women business owners in Atlanta for about 5 or 6 years. I had been a member or on the board of NABO, and I'd seen a lot of other women business organizations come and go in Atlanta. As I'm sure you know, we have such a growth of women entrepreneurs in Georgia. Right now, Georgia's leading the number of new businesses started by women in the whole country. So we have a lot of new entrepreneurs coming in the market, and they have a lot of different options in Atlanta. We have almost 50 different organizations that work with women business, either corporate women or business owners. There's a lot of women business events.
Right. So, it's a rich community of resources and
which
networking
is great. It's very diverse, you know, and you like to see more resources there. But the problem is that also causes confusion. So when you start a new business and you try to Google, you know, where do I go to get support or education on my business, you'll get 50 different answers. And I really wanted to brand NABO Atlanta as the place to go to really influence, educate, and inspire women business owners. That's been our vision this year. Is, you know, we had a great board retreat at the beginning of my presidency with all the other 10 board members. We have 10 other board members that really make it happen. So I really want to acknowledge them for all the work they've done this year to make this vision become a reality. We you know, had this vision of growing NABO, growing our corporate partners, growing our membership. Another thing we did was we created an affiliate partner program, which had never been in place before. And the reason for that was, as I said, I saw so many other organizations in Atlanta, right. And we would have events, and literally we would have events on the same day, and people would say, oh, well, I wish I could have come to the NABU event, but I wanted to go to the ProWin event, or I wanted to go to the GWBC event or GAL event. I mean, there were just so many women's organizations, you couldn't afford to go to everything. So I reached out to some of these other organizations, and I created a board position specifically for affiliate partnerships. And Patty Bunker, who's the VP, has done a great job just creating that program and creating an affiliate agreement for NABU with other organizations.
That was really brilliant, because as women, we want to be working together, supporting each other in each of those unique specialties, not feeling like we're in competition for who gets the most luncheon attendees.
Exactly.
There's a great ripple effect with it also, because of the different people that you get to meet along the way. You get exposed to so many more people and opportunities just with that affiliate partnership. So it really is enriching so many more women by making it inclusive.
And I think we also have to acknowledge as women organizations that we are not the end-all be-all. We cannot provide everything, you know, and I'm very upfront. Whenever someone joins NABU, you know, we have a lot of education, we have a lot of programs, and I can talk a little bit about that later, about the specific programs we do have. But we're not going to be the only organization, and we should not be the only organization that you're trying to get help from. We have great relationships with GWBC, WeBank, at the SBA, bankers, just different people that you need. And you may find them in NABU, you may not find them in NABU. So we want to be that point of contact where we can, direct you where you need to go to.
So you've got kind of a central place you can go for trusted mm-hmm. advice and for direction on, how do I find somebody to help me with this, that. I always say that it's very important for women to not just network with women too.
Exactly. Exactly. And I mean, I talk about that a lot because I see all the women's organizations, and I think it's great because we definitely need that support and we need to empower each other. But at the end of the day, the majority of the buying decisions in especially larger companies are made by men. So we need to get in that community too and be very influential in the business community in general. In
right.
Atlanta, not just in with women who own companies, but with men who own companies, anyone who's in a decision-making role, we want to be prominent for that.
Absolutely. Now, Laura, what have you found to be most inspiring about being part of the group and being part of executing this vision for growing NABU Atlanta?
Well, in follow-up of what Andrea just said, I think I mentioned I'm a member of the Georgia Association for Women Lawyers. So it's one thing to be in your vertical professional group, but NABU is a horizontal group, and it cuts across all business fields. So I really enjoy having an opportunity to get out of my professional group and meet other business women in a context where you're thinking about your business as an entity and not just your professional activities and your what you actually do for a living. So that has helped me a tremendous amount to do that, to get a different focus and a different perspective on things.
Right. When you're in one sector or you're hanging out with all people that are working in one profession, sometimes you can get kind of tunnel vision
yes.
on things. And as we've talked about, it's very important to have that broad perspective as a business owner and be looking at all those different areas that affect your company. Diane, I'm sure in working and coaching business owners, you've seen that as a challenge that people have to overcome and even just getting a step back.
Yes, and our time is a commodity. So we have to be strategic even in that respect, that we select the organizations that we feel can best suit our goals and our business goals, because we're multidimensional. We aren't just out for revenue, but we have personal goals and we have spiritual goals. And so we need to be looking at, I only have so much time in my time bucket. So I want to strategically make sure that I'm in a position where I can give of myself, because I think it should never be just a, what can I get? What can you give me? But what do you need? And I think if we all get that spirit of, what do you need? How can I get you there? And just like Laura was saying with her earlier illustration about strategically aligning with others, it makes sense, you know, that we can be giving, and then you more than, just like she testified, you can more than get back.
Right.
And it's
you grow the whole pie, right, rather than just trying to take your slice out. So let's talk about what it's like to go to a NABO meeting, some of the programming, the events. What can people, you know, put on their calendar so they can come check it out?
Great. Well, I'd love to talk about that. We've got several different programs and education venues for women business owners. And like Deb was saying, we actually have several men now who have decided to join NABO because our programming is so strong. So, you know, we're not exclusive. I mean, we welcome anyone to these programs.
That's awesome.
I also want to just mention that you don't have to be a member of the organization and join to be a member in order to attend any event. Everyone's welcome at these events. So our chapter luncheons and education programs are held at the Buckhead Club, and they are on the second Thursday of every month. So we have one this week on June 14th. And we actually have a great speaker this time. Her name is Denise Hedges, and she's going to speak on the power of public speaking and how that can help you grow your business. So we're excited about having Denise come and speak to us. We've had some really great speakers. And if you go on our website, which is naboatlanta.org, all the previous speakers are on there, and you can see the full programming on the calendar. We also offer nighttime events, which are networking events, and these are held at fun restaurants and hip places in Atlanta. The next one will be held on June 26th, which is a Tuesday at Seasons 52 in Buckhead.
Which is
a really cool place. And we've had over 100 people show up at these networking events because, again, it's not just women. It's everybody in the business community is open to come. And then I think, you know, there's other things in the works in terms of workshops. And we have a roundtable program that's really exciting that is a whole separate educational program in its own, which is a kind of a, people call them mastermind groups, I guess, or a Vistage group or something.
CEO roundtable.
So we've had that program for quite a while, and we're expanding that program now. So we're excited about that and offering something really deep and rich to business owners. You know, I think that's it, is you've got some events that are, you know, going to be kind of your entry point to the organization. And then once you join and you become a member, that's when you go deep and you get into these roundtable groups. And I've been in the same roundtable, CEO roundtable with women for 4 years. We meet every month for 3 hours. So you can imagine the depth of the relationship and trust you can form.
Oh, that's unbelievable. When you're regularly meeting with a group like that for that amount of time, I mean, it's like having a board of directors
and that's the purpose of these groups, is to act as your board of directors, because as small business owners, you know, some small business owners have been able to form that on their own. You can recruit people and form your own board of directors, but this gives you that sense of a board of advisors or directors. And it's really been great. It really has. I think that's kind of our secret sauce at NABO. People think that we're, oh, you're another women's business organization. There's plenty of those in Atlanta. But I think if you talk to some of the longtime members and you talk to people who have been in groups like I have for years, you'll see that these are long-term, profitable business relationships that are being formed. And, you know, NABO is not my only group. I'm involved in other groups too. It just happens to be, you know, my core group, my primary group right now.
Right. It sounds like the more you get involved, the more you can derive value and start really building relationships. I'm curious from each of you what role you feel the relationships that you've made in business have played over the years as you've expanded your career, expanded your company. Have relationships been an important aspect of that?
Oh, absolutely. I used to do a session called Relationship Marketing because I think it's one of the strongest elements in growing your business. Because if I can build a strong relationship with my client, then if and when there's any issues, we can get through it. We can build together. But if there's not a relationship and you're only looking at it for the dollar signs, that you don't have the longevity. And I think the best businesses are built on a solid foundation of relationships.
On top of which, on the international side with shipping, I have customers that reach out for me and they're like, Deb, I just don't know what to do. And it's a UPS solution. It's a technology solution. It's, hey, you know what? There's another business that's doing something similar. You know, if you're open to it, let's partner you up and see what we can do to help grow both of your businesses. I mean, without that relationship, you lack a trusted advisor. You lack the support that you need to grow your business beyond where it's at today to its next step. And it's just a fabulous way to make it happen.
Nice. Well, it certainly sounds like you all have gotten to know each other and the other members within NABO quite well over the years of your involvement. What would you recommend to somebody who's interested in getting involved or checking out the group?
Well, I can say, as someone who, you know, was a new member at one point and just kind of Googled and showed up and didn't know what I was getting myself into, I think that the first step is you have to reach out. You just have to pick up the phone and call someone. You can call our main office, and Julie Marino, who is our executive administrator, is really kind of the first touch that people have, and she's great. She's wonderful, and she can kind of give people the lay of the land and say, this is the next event, or set up a meeting with me, or, you know, I'm happy to meet one-on-one with anyone who's thinking about NABO but just is on the fence and they're not really sure if it's for them, because it really is an individual decision. It may not be for everybody. And one thing that's really happening in this economy is people are thinking about, gosh, you know, I only have so much money to spend on marketing activities. So where am I going to invest that? And that's why I say, you know, you really need to think about how much are you willing to give and invest in these relationships? Because if you just show up to one event a year and you pay $350 for your membership,
it's not going
to
do it.
You're probably not going to get a lot of new relationships or clients out of that. And I have talked to people whose membership has expired and they said, oh, well, I just didn't get anything out of it. And well, you know, you say you get out what you put in, and it really doesn't take much. It's just consistency. People want to see you on a regular basis. They know they can trust you. They know they'll see you. And we've really got a lot of that now. I think that's what you'll find with NABO is our members are very loyal, very committed. There's no drama. We're all just very straightforward. It's very easy to get involved. We're very welcoming. That's the feedback I get, at least, from members. It's like, wow, I just showed up and everybody was like, hey, do this, join us for this.
That's great, because sometimes you never know, and it can be scary to walk into a room of strangers, especially if, you know, they all know each other and you're the one new person. So to feel like, you know, there won't be that awkward moment where I'm standing by myself.
Well, you know what? The luncheon is really a really great place to start. Even if you come as a guest, bring a stack of business cards, and it's just that wonderful opportunity to start off the luncheon swapping business cards. And then from there, we get to relax and enjoy a good meal and a great speaker. And it's been consistent. Every time I've gone, it's been a great speaker. It's been a great learning environment for me personally, but also to just then from there, what can I do to help out other people with their specific business needs? And that can be an offline conversation. I love the luncheons. That's my favorite.
And it's fun to have that to look forward to every month, to know that you're reconnecting with old friends and meeting some new ones. Well, it has been wonderful to get to know each of you. I've certainly enjoyed it. It's kind of like a mini NABO meeting right here in the studio.
Yes.
Let's make sure that our audience knows how to get in touch with each of you and find out more about your businesses. Andrea, also the website for NABO, if you want to give that, as well as your business website.
Sure. My business is Borden Schmidt Consulting, and that would be bordenschmidt.com. And in terms of my email address, there's really two. There's one for my company and one for NABO. So Andrea@bordenschmidt.com is my company address, and then president@naboatlanta.org is where you can reach me there. But naboatlanta.org has a wealth of information for people on all our events and our you know, leadership and how to get involved. So I would encourage listeners to go there.
Nice. And Women Business Certification as well.
Correct. We have information about certification. One of our partners is GWBC, so we work a lot about on programs about certification and is it right for you. And that's been a really great partnership because I would say about 25% minimum of our members now are already certified. So that's something that's going to be increasing, and we're helping with that.
Interesting. Terrific. Laura Stevenson of the Law Offices of Laura Stevenson, where can we get in touch with you?
Well, my email address is LS, as in Stevenson, LAW at BellSouth.net. And Stevenson is Stevenson. And you can also look at my LinkedIn site. And you just obviously go in and look for Laura Stevenson. And I'd be glad to talk to anyone who has a question and wants to pass something by an attorney.
I know everybody wants to pass something by an attorney. Thank you, Laura. Deb Carr, what's the best way for people to find out more about UPS's solutions? And actually, we should even mention that there's a UPS benefit for NABO members as well.
There is. There are membership benefits, and it includes discounts on UPS shipping. So we want to make sure we start off directly impacting your business when you become a member with NABO. The best way to reach me is either email me at djcarr@ups.com, or heavens, just come to the NABO luncheon. I'll be there, and I look forward to meeting you in person.
There you go. Thank you. And Diane Ogle, how can we find out more about your companies?
At businessmomentumgroup.com. And my email address is diogle3, that's diogle3@gmail.com.
Perfect. Thanks so much, ladies. It was a pleasure getting to know all of you, and we certainly appreciate all the efforts that you've got going on to grow Georgia's Atlanta women business owner base here in the city. So we'd love to have you come back on the show another time.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Enjoyed it.
This is Elizabeth Gordon, and you're listening to Chic Perspectives on Business Radio X. Check out more interviews at businessradiox.com, and I will talk with you next week.